May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 680. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
Thank you. wonderful hymn, our first hymn. Do pray that we may each have some little hope and some assurance that God the Father sent his dearly beloved Son to save us from our sins and iniquities. Reading together Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us. We add our amen to it and seek for help to call upon him at the throne of grace. O Lord, be pleased to look down upon this little company gathered together in thy name, and we do trust and pray that thou hast been pleased to, through thy Spirit, bring us each into thy house of prayer to truly seek thee, worship thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, do come and prepare each of our hearts to approach unto thee. O Lord, we think of thy word. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, what a great mercy it is, Lord, to be one chosen, one elect through grace, but then to be brought to approach unto thee, to be true seekers in Zion, desiring, Lord, at this time to come into thy presence, we pray thee. Prepare each of our hearts. Pour forth thy Spirit upon us. Be pleased, Lord, to look down upon us in all our need as we gather together at this time. And Lord, there are those here that are many in gathering, but all have differing needs, differing concerns, differing prayers that have been set before thee at this time. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come to each particular case and each need. And Lord, the eldest down to the youngest, Lord, if it would please thee. Many prayers have been set before thee in respect of the youngest and the babes in arms, Lord. Oh, be pleased to hear, we pray thee, in thy rich mercy. And do give answers of peace, we pray thee. Draw each heart then, Lord, unto thee. We do pray, Lord, for a little humbling, a little softening of our hearts before thee at this time, Lord. O Lord, thy word informs us, Lord, but it is also in our experience, as it was in the experience of the disciples, that without me ye can do nothing. And Lord, as we come to approach thee in the means of grace and to come around thy word, O Lord, we come. Without thee we can do nothing. Oh, do be pleased, Lord, to reveal and manifest thyself in thy gracious power. Come to each one of us, Lord, incline our hearts unto thee. Without thee we can do nothing. We cannot lift up one desire, one good thought, Lord. We cannot find any love to thy name, Lord, and to thy mercy and goodness, Lord. And Lord, we cannot of ourselves seek and desire, Lord, one good blessing. And so, Lord, we come before thee, holy, dependent and trusting in thy all-worthy name, Saviour, Redeemer and Friend, that thou wilt come to our help and to our need, lift up our hearts to thee in faith and in love, and do be pleased, Lord, to visit amongst us here, Lord. Oh, we pray for thy word, Lord. It is a mercy if we have come hungering and thirsting, Lord. It is thou alone that hath put that hungering and thirsting into our poor souls. Have we asked Lord, for a little hungering and a thirsting for thyself and for thy word, a word in season for each one of us to live upon thy word, Lord, to live upon the blessedness of thy merits and thy person, to be brought near to thee, Lord, and oh, that our hearts truly may be affectioned towards thee. Oh, that we may seek and desire at this time and season that there may be a oneness with us, Lord, with thee. Oh, Lord, come then, we pray thee, and draw each poor needy soul hungering and thirsting for thee to partake of thy gospel grace. And, O Lord, there is indeed a storehouse of blessings in thy gospel for poor, needy sinners, Lord. And we come, Lord, seeking a living portion for our souls, some morsel of that true manna that came down from heaven, that our poor souls may feast upon thee, Lord, and that we may this time be partakers, a time of refreshing, a time of renewing, a time of restoring in respect of our never-dying immortal souls. Only thou, Lord, can cause them to live, to have life, and to have it more abundantly. And so, Lord, we come to thee, Lord, and we pray, Lord, opened up to us, maybe that word, Lord, that is most needful to our poor souls. Well, Lord, we do pray, come to each one, Lord, at this time, and pray, Lord, that our time and our visitation here may be a profitable time and a good time, Lord, where thou art revealed in thy love and mercy unto sinners. We have read in thy word, Lord, the wonderment of thy grace that should come to sinners, that divine change wrought in the souls of sinners, Lord, to be gathered from darkness to light. O Lord, we do pray that thy gospel may be proclaimed forth this day, all the glorious truths and blessings that are found in it, Lord, made a blessing to the souls of thy people that come and around thy word. Sometimes, Lord, the times of refreshing, times of renewing, a time, Lord, to confirm, and a time, Lord, to show thyself to thy people that thou art leading them on, Lord, in that right way, and to a city of habitation. O Lord, we do pray, appear unto us then in thy rich mercy, and keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee, Lord, upon the precious truths of thy gospel grace. And we do pray then for a teachable spirit to learn and to know of thee. O Lord, if there are any that have come, Lord, with some seemingly head knowledge or some head notion, Lord, of religion, O we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remove it far from them, Lord, bring them under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, thy word and thy truth to thy poor needy ones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Lord, do be pleased to come then, Lord, to be that one to teach us by and through thy Spirit, and lead us into all truth and doctrine. We pray thee this day, and we pray, Lord, as the gospel is proclaimed, the good news of salvation, Lord, many sinners that are found, Lord, perhaps, Lord, those indifferent and unconcerned in respect of their never-dying immortal souls, that indeed thy truth concerning our never-dying immortal souls, what if ye should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? O Lord, it is only thou that canst appear and reveal and manifest, Lord, thyself to thy people. and to show to them that their never-dying immortal soul is that one thing most precious to them, Lord. Oh, but Lord, where stands the case, my soul, with thee? Oh, Lord, may that be the question. May that indeed be that one important answer that we seek and desire this day, to know our standing before a holy and a righteous God. It is only through the merits of thy dearly beloved Son that there is any acceptance unto God the Father. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come in the riches of thy grace, and, Lord, reveal and manifest thyself to sinners this day. The proclamation of the gospel through thy sent servants upon this thy day, Lord, the day that thou hast made, and the day, Lord, set apart and sanctified for the worship of thy great and holy name, we do pray, Lord, also, that it may be a day to the glory of thy name, when thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to raise up sinners from death unto life. We pray thee, and thou knowest how that we pray for these things, Lord, to be blessed to those near and dear to us and those connected with us in worship, our children and our children's children. Lord, hear us in our prayers and our petitions. Lord, we pray thee, come in the greatness of thy mercy and save them from their sins and iniquities. We pray thee, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt, Lord, change hearts and renew sinners. We pray thee this day. We thank thee then, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to come to the means of grace. Oh, Lord, be pleased to look down upon this gathering, Lord. Be pleased to come to us through the word and reveal and manifest thy love, grace and mercy, and particularly truth and doctrine to our never-dying immortal souls. And do bless us, Lord, under thy promises, Lord. Oh, we're journeying on, Lord. And it doesn't matter, Lord, what age we may be, Lord. We do not know what a day may bring forth, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we might live each day unto thee by faith. But, Lord, we want some confirmation and some blessing in our souls, that it shall be well with us, Lord, as we journey forth towards that eternal rest that is prepared for thy people. For thou, Lord, hast been pleased indeed to promise through thy salvation even unto the uttermost everlasting life. And, O Lord, maybe we perhaps do not so often think about, dear Lord, our end. We do not know when it shall be, Lord. But we do pray for this, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to grant us those tokens through thy word, even as thy servant Peter, for thou hast the words of eternal life. And we want to know, Lord, as we journey on, that thou hast been pleased, Lord, to reserve a place for us in heaven, and that we are journeying forth, and the blessing and the confirmation in our poor souls, that we shall indeed arrive safely in that place. Work in us, Lord, thy will and power. Bring us near to thee, Lord, more often as we journey on here below. Oh, do grant, Lord, continued union and fellowship with thee, Lord, and confirm us, Lord, give unto us that lively hope, Lord, and an expectation, Lord, of those things that thou hast laid up for them that love thee. O Lord, look down upon us then. We do pray that this day thou wilt give help to all thy sent servants, grant journeying mercies to every one of them, Lord, as many of them travel many miles, Lord, to preach thy gospel. Lord, give them safe journeys and O Lord, grant them utterance in thy name, we pray thee, Lord, this day, and the precious Christ be revealed to thy people, to comfort Zion, and to comfort those that mourn, Lord. Ah, what a mercy it is to mourn and to sorrow over our sins and iniquities, O Lord. Oh, but what great mercies, indeed, they shall be comforted. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that our only comfort is through thy cross at Calvary, Lord, the comfort, indeed, of peace and pardon for our poor souls, Lord, that pardon through thy precious blood. Oh, Lord, we do pray again, visit, draw near, Lord. May we feel its cleansing, healing fountain sprinkled upon our consciences, Lord, for all our sins and for all our iniquities, we pray thee. O Lord, be with us, then be with thy people that gather here week by week. Draw near to them, Lord, each and every one, and those that are in office, Lord, to help them to continue in thy cause of truth here. We pray thee, Lord, and to be prayerful and mindful, Lord, of this cause of truth and those that gather together, the welfare, the spiritual welfare of never-dying immortal souls. And we do pray, Lord, that the doors of this thy house indeed may remain open, Lord, and so much as the gospel is preached, so also, Lord, a hope that thou wilt gather to thyself through the gospel, as we have sung together in our first hymn, all those ordained to eternal life. With thy servant now, Lord, draw near to him and his needs. Help him to stand forth in thy name and speak through him by thy Spirit. Lead him, Lord, into thy truth. Open the hearts of thy people to hear and to receive. We do pray that our time spent together may be a good time, and a time, Lord, where thou wilt be pleased to visit and reveal, manifest thy loving kindness to us. So we ask these mercies in and through that all precious name, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 319. How light, while supported by grace, are all the afflictions I see to those the dear Lord of my peace, my Jesus, has suffered for me. To him every comfort I owe above what the fiends have in hell. And shall I not sing as I go that Jesus does everything well? Hymn 319.
Thank you.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the chapter that we read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, reading by way of a text from verse 17 and 18. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, reading from verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I believe that in this epistle, Paul to the Romans, and in particular in this sixth chapter, he is enlightening their minds as to walking out and seeking a path of holiness and righteousness to the Lord, serving him, following him with all love and affection and desire. But it appears that it may be also that there were those whose hearts and minds had that tendency to wander back and to go back, considering their former lives and those things where they filled up their heart with lusts and cares and concerns of this world. And believe that this sixth chapter is to draw their hearts and minds and through the Spirit to see the greatness of their deliverance and what God had done and wrought for them. And that indeed, realizing the greatness of their salvation, how that they shall continue and go forth to honour him and give much thanks and praise and blessing and glory to him for the greatness of that work that began with them and saved them. And it isn't unusual for Paul in seeking to give glory to the Lord, praise and blessing to him by reminding them of their former lives and how they lived to the flesh and lived to the world and lived to sin and uncleanness, that he might bring out more blessedly and more gloriously the great deliverance and the great mercy that came to them in delivering them from all the corruptions and pollutions of their hearts, and through a precious and glorious deliverance by and through the person of his dearly beloved Son. In our first clause it says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. We mustn't understand that God should be thanked for our former lives and the sin that was in us, all the uncleanness and the pollution, the corrupt heart. It isn't here that thanks are given unto God, but I do believe that there is a thanks and a glory to him that he interposed. Glory to his name that he came into our lives. But God be thanked. I do seek and pray so often that this thankfulness might be found in my heart. And as much as ever and each day, if the Lord will, to praise him and to lift him up for the great mercy that should come to me. And I do believe that it will be with some of you. But I do pray that ultimately it may be with all of you, that you would be able to thank God. Glory, honour is due to his name. And where is it due to his name? It is due to him through the person of his dearly beloved Son. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And it is in Jesus, isn't it? His dearly beloved Son. That is where all the praise will be found to a redeemed soul. To often thank him for the great deliverance that he has wrought for us in the week I was brought to consider my life, not to look at it, dear friends, in a way in which I lived it in sin, but in that way, dear friends, when I lived to this world, I was brought to view it. Sometimes the Lord brings me to this place as he is bringing the church here again, just to reflect. Not that we should ever desire to be found again in that place where we were found in sin and iniquity, but reflect. He reminded the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, where they were found, all the darkness and the ignorance of their minds, and children of darkness, and the solemn truth of their wayward hearts, wayward lives. And I was brought to reflect of mine a little in the week. I do believe that the Lord, the Spirit, brought me to it just to enlighten me again to the great mercy that came to me. I lived in sin, dear friends, and my parents, and for the first up to the 9 years old, never went to a church, never sought the Lord, never knew him, never knew that there was a God, dear friends, never. And I lived to the flesh, to the serving of the flesh. My parents knew no different. And I looked forward to those things that were vanity. I looked forward to the morning children's matinee every Saturday morning. Yes, I looked to that. And then a little later, went into the picture houses when I became a little older. And I was brought, dear friends, to see the whole vanity and the corruption, the evil that was in my life. And I do believe the Lord appeared and melted my heart a little because of the great deliverance that he wrought upon me, changed me, made me sensible of my need of a Saviour ultimately. But dear friends, whilst I was found in my sins, he was still looking upon me in his love, because he said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You see, this is the glory which is due to his name. He still loved me. He commended his love toward me in that while we were yet sinners, you see, while I was a sinner, and that love was in the person of his dearly beloved Son, Jesus. And we know that there was no greater love than what Jesus showed to his people than that love at Calvary. There was no greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so, dear friends, there is cause here. But God be thanked. And I've often been unable to thank him enough. I do feel it for what he has done and wrought for me in Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Well, we each know our way and path. We may, from time to time, see how that we were those servants to sin, dear friends, or those that were slaves to sin. And where is it to be found, really and truly? Why, we were servants to the serpent. That was the truth, wasn't it? Servants to the serpent, to Satan, his slave. And we loved the slavery, didn't we? We loved the slavery. It pleased our flesh. It sufficed us. The pleasure, the freeness, and he held us. And this is the thankfulness that belongs to our God, that ye were the servants of sin. Because, dear friends, we've sung two blessed and glorious hymns this morning. God still provided for us in the blessedness, the gift of his dearly beloved Son. And in this sense of the word, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Because yes, we were the servants of sin. We were living a corrupt life, an evil life, a wicked life. We were far from God. We were enemies to grace and goodness. That ye were the servants of sin. But God, dear friends, made a wonderful provision then, didn't he? The person of his dearly beloved Son. When man fell, with all the ruin of a fallen carnal nature in his heart, in his life, and that belongs to us, for that we are of Adam's posterity, all born in sin, and yet the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, the wonderful provision, the mercy that should come to sinners, and everything was settled before time began in respect of the salvation of his church and his people. The elect world were all brought into the loving kindness of God in the covenant of grace, and where God loved his people with an everlasting love, and he gave them to Jesus, the second and blessed, glorious in the Trinity of persons, second person, and who undertook our cause and interest by becoming our substitute, our surety, by coming to put himself into our room and in our place. You see, this is the glorious truth of the gospel. It was all settled before time began in respect of the church. And this thankfulness here, but God be thanked that yes, our names were recorded in heaven, is the mercy, isn't it? We can show that in a moment. But you have obeyed the heart. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Who was it that obeyed? It was the elect church. They will all come to that place where they will be found in humble submission under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the blessedness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal and to take of the things of Jesus and to show them unto us. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, because that our God had settled his mercy on some of lost mankind. And the certainty and the surety in the covenant of grace, dear friends, that he will appear in the fullness of time to each and every one. And it is settled in Jesus. My covenant, there shall be steadfast in him. And that is the mercy. And so, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Now, he isn't to be thanked, dear friends, in respect of our sins and iniquities, no. When I reflect of my past life, I hate my sins. I hate my former life. I hate the solemn truth of the wayward heart and the living to the flesh. And yes, only being up to 9 years old, you may think, well, you wouldn't have known much about that life that you lived. But when the Spirit of the Lord will bring it into remembrance, dear friends, I think of this truth, what a mercy it is to be born to godly parents, and that the Lord, in his rich favour and blessing, bring each and every one babe in arms to his house of prayer and to pray over them, and that that good work may be begun even there, dear friends. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And I thought how appropriate our hymn was that we've just sung together. Servants of sin. That Jesus, who stooped from his throne to pluck such a brand from the fire, a wretch that had naught of his own, not even a holy desire, my only inheritance sin, a slave to rebellion and lust, polluted without and within, a child of corruption and dust. Dear friends, the Spirit of the Lord will bring each and every one in some measure into the truth of those words. They will be brought to the truth of those words. Indeed they will. Jesus came to put away sin and forever and to blot it out. And that sin will be revealed to our consciences through the Spirit of the Lord. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Who is it then that have obeyed from the heart? It is the elect church, and this church here. Gentiles, were they not? You see, And we have the wonderful truth and the promise of our God in respect of the Gentiles. I was just thinking, I do like to quote one or two promises in respect of this blessing that should come to the Gentiles. But in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." Here we have the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the root of Jesse. We have David and David's greater son. An ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. But then I just thought of another glorious passage, a word indeed to encourage any seeker. And it is a good word, dear friends. In Isaiah chapter 54, it speaks there of the blessing that should come to the Gentiles, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inherited." Now, dear friends, we do want an interest in this, and pray the Lord that he will impress this in our hearts. He says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. You see, a little moment, I have forsaken thee. It doesn't mean cast off. It means left for a little season. That is what it means. Until that time, following Pentecost and so forth, that the gospel should be proclaimed to the four corners of the earth. This is the mercy. And we're Gentiles, you see. And what a mercy it is to be found of that truth. "But with great mercies will I gather thee." I cannot think of a more beautiful word. He said, "I will gather thee." No, nothing, dear friends, in the creature is there. "I will gather thee." And we think of the glorious truth and blessing that is found in the gospel that is preached, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine that is spoken of in the words of our text, "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Perhaps it may be some encouragement to some poor soul, some seeking soul. "With great mercies will I gather thee." Where are those great mercies of our God to be found? Dear friends, all his attributes, all his goodness, his love, his mercy, his favour, his blessings, all known and blessed through Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. Great mercies. Was there any greater mercy, dear friends, than Jesus? Fastened upon the tree at Calvary? There was the mercy. Spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. That was the mercy, wasn't it? Great mercies. That was the mercy that came here and gathered this Church of Rome together. Yes. This is the mercy in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the blessing and the truth today. It is preached today, proclaimed today in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps what a mercy it is to be one of these here. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee." Any poor seeking soul thinking and believing, you see, that God has not come yet, not appeared. But it doesn't mean cast off. Continue to seek. The divinely appointed time. Because there is a set time to favour Zion. a divinely appointed time when he will appear. And then the promise, and with great mercies will I gather thee. Dear friends, he will fulfill his work, his word, his promise. It will be fulfilled. And so, persevere. Press on. But dear friends, remember the mercies. And then this truth. But you have obeyed from the heart. There's another truth here. It will be that heart that has been made sincere. That heart that has been made meet to receive Christ in the gospel. It must be a heart changed and a heart renewed. A new heart, a heart of flesh, the heart of stone to be removed. All the rebellings, all the hardness. The spirit of the old carnal nature to be broken up, dear friends. That Christ should appear, that where sin abounded, that grace might much more abound. And the Lord, through his Spirit, will prepare the heart. I just thought of that preparing of the heart. And it is the wonderful work of grace. Humbling. Working effectually upon the soul. Being made ready and made meet. To hear, to receive, and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never receive him in our heart that is carnal by nature. It's a wretched heart. It's an undone heart. It's a corrupt heart. It's an evil heart. Can we see this change so needful? That you have obeyed from the heart. It isn't from that corrupt heart, dear friends. Only sin can be produced there. And we know the root of sin. It's in Satan. No. This is the heart that has been made ready. And it is through a work of grace. And this heart. Here spoken of here. Made ready. To hear and to receive and to believe in Christ is a heart, dear friends, that will be broken up all the fallow ground. We will be brought to see the evil of it, as taught by the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Be brought to look inward, to see all the corruption and the evil that we've spoken of or sang together. All those corruptions and pollutions, all to be made and revealed to the soul. And it's the important work of grace. You see, the glorious change. The Ethiopian eunuch said unto Philip, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, dear friends, Philip had preached unto him Jesus, and this is the truth here, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you, and this form of doctrine was delivered to that poor man's soul. And we know that it was from the 53rd of Isaiah. A lamb that was led to the slaughter. Jesus. And Jesus was preached into that poor man's soul. He saw the blessing and the truth. that he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And his heart was being broken up and humbled and made receptive to hear the truth and the gospel. You see, is the truth. And he was blessed. He said, what hindereth him to be baptized? He had received the blessing in his soul that Jesus came, the Lamb of God, on a personal mission for his soul, because that is what real religion is. It's for everyone whom our Heavenly Father gave to Jesus, and he will come to everyone. There must be some hope here for some poor needy sinner brought to feel their need of Jesus. He preached unto him this Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation of the world. What hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, ah, dear friends, a heart that had yes been humbled, made ready, a heart prepared, a heart made meet, a heart that was true and sincere to receive Jesus. Because it must be none but Jesus, none but him. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, that lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and that Passover lamb that was instituted by God, given to Moses, and that lamb that John beheld, John the Baptist, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the eternal Son of God came, and as we've sung in one of the hymns, left his throne of glory in a particular mission. The blessed and glorious truth of his incarnation, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. And he came and saved the Ethiopian eunuch from his sins. Now this is that covenant that we spake of when we began, where God loved his people. And the certainty and the surety of their salvation in that covenant of grace. Dear friends, everyone will be gathered in. The Ethiopian eunuch. Let us just go just a little further because of the truth and the blessing. There was one Lydia. And on the Sabbath they went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. This is the truth of the word of our text, dear friends. The heart that the Lord opened. As the Lord opened the doors of thine heart, dear friends, to behold thy sin and thine iniquity and all the evil of it. You see, yes, this is the glorious truth. Many other things will be revealed to us in respect of that sin, the wrath of God for sin, and the solemn truth of the God's holy righteous law, which we had broken, we will be brought in some measure to see those things, what was deserving to us in the opening of our hearts. But dear friends, the blessed and glorious truth is this, that a precious Christ be revealed and manifest as the Saviour of sinners. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. It was a heart prepared then. A heart, dear friends, humbled and submissive. That's the word, isn't it? A heart that has been made submissive. Oh, it's grace, dear friends. A heart submissive to hear the glorious truth of the gospel, and that one to appear for the great need of the soul, which feels its sin and its evil and wickedness. You see, this is the blessing. And it was the same with the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? And Paul, Silas, preached to that man. It's on this same page. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Yes, he washed their stripes, dear friends. But let us remember that it was by the stripes of the Lord Jesus that we were healed. That is the mercy, isn't it? Healed. But ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you now. Delivered you, and it says in the margin in respect of this, whereto ye were delivered. That is the meaning of it. Which was delivered you, it's preached to you, but whereby ye were delivered. Now then, do we know something about this? Which were delivered, this gospel, this glorious gospel of Jesus. It's so, his salvation is so full and free, dear friends. It's to sinners. And what Jesus came to do, it was to put away, to cleanse and to heal from all sin and all defilement. And we will cry, dear friends, from our first hymn, why me, why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me? Have we been brought to feel that wretchedness? And it's a wonderment of grace, and that is why we should come back to the initial words of our textbook. God be thanked. Why me? Why me? Oh, blessed God. Such a wretch as me. And then what was the blessing that flowed through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was this peace and pardon, forgiveness of sins through his precious blood. It says, being then made free from sin, free from sin. Oh, I remember, dear friends, when the Lord came and freed me from my sins. Freed me as though I'd never held any sins or had any sins. Such was the cleansing, healing virtue of his precious blood. Oh, it wholly sprinkled the conscience, dear friends. Cleansed. Such is the atoning blood and sacrifice of Jesus. Oh, to be set free. Wonderful word, dear friends. In John chapter 8, and the Son shall make you free. Oh, what a wonderful mercy it is to be set free. Free, freed from our sins, freed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And let us just understand the truth. The free gift of our God, the unspeakable gift of his dearly beloved Son, that he should send him forth into this sin-cursed world and spare him not and deliver him up for us all, for the church, for the elect world. See how free and full this salvation is. He spared him not, but the word delivery, delivered, is shown again in these words here, which he were delivered. The great deliverance that is in the gospel of Jesus. It's a complete separation from our sins and iniquities. It must be the experience and the blessing that our sins have all been washed away. That was a testimony of the Ethiopian eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing. He was free from sin. He passed through the waters of baptism to give that open testimony of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his faith in that precious blood that was shed for sin. We're freed from sin. We're freed from the yoke of Satan. Oh, his yoke is upon us by our very birth into this world. And whilst ever we hold a heart that is corrupt by nature, there he is. Oh, there must be that deliverance. It will be a mercy if the Lord has preserved us from outward sin and evil and wickedness. That will be a mercy. But dear friends, the hymn writer says, the corruptions and the pollutions of the heart, dear friends, that is in us by nature, there must be a new heart, and then the deliverance from the wrath of God. And that wrath of God that was due upon us for sin. And I went to preach at Clifton on Thursday evening. And the moment I got onto the motorway, there was a 30-minute hold-up. There was an accident. And I went into the near side lane, which is a fourth lane, but it just led to the first exit, and I knew that was a short way which would lead me two junctions down the road and hopefully would be past and beyond the accident, which proved to be so. But I took a road that was round the, as it were, the back of Warsaw, and the road and the name of that road was called Broadway. And dear friends, it came into my mind again. Oh, what a deliverance God has wrought in Jesus. That was where I was, dear friends, in that Broadway. A Broadway to destruction, to hell, to damnation. Oh, let us not be deceived about these things, dear friends. That was the road that I was in. That Broadway, Jesus speaks of it. And if we understand the words what in our text here, there are only, the two ways are set down. There's no middle way. Many think there is. There's many religion today, dear friends, the false prophets and the teachers. Yes, they bypass this way here that we've been speaking of. There's an easier route. But you see, the five foolish virgins were found in that route, and they thought that heaven was their portion. And it wasn't. No. Dear friends, either the broad way of destruction or the narrow way that leadeth to life. What a mercy it was that down this carriageway, this broad way, it was a dual carriageway, there was a way back. And isn't that the mercy of the gospel, dear friends? Translated from darkness to light, from Satan unto God. What a mercy. Only Jesus, through his sufferings and death, that is the way, isn't it? And so here, set free from all destruction, the wrath of God and the hell that was determined for us. And then God's holy righteous law, the curse of a broken law, Jesus came and honoured it and fulfilled it for us as though we had never broken it. You see, it was against us, wasn't it? It was. But set free. That law, holy law of God, holds nothing against us. Set free from it, from its curse. It's a wonderful mercy. And set free. And being set free, brought and blessed in the liberty of the gospel. That is another blessing, isn't it? The liberty of the gospel. Set free and blessed with liberty. Soul set free, but the poor soul has the whole blessedness of the gospel that belongs to him. A precious Jesus belongs to the soul. The whole of his gospel, his word, his truth, his promises, his blessings, all belong to the soul of a poor sinner. Oh, what a liberty to enter into, dear friends. What a great blessing. These are those things that are laid up for them that love God. They're laid up, dear friends. And they're those things that our poor souls can feast upon. Divine election. Incarnation of the Lord Jesus and his substitution in the room and place of the sinner at Calvary, doctrinal truths, his resurrection from the dead. And dear friends, this is the blessed and glorious truth that he began with, isn't it, in these words here. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, what glorious liberty, dear friends. What belongs to the poor soul that was so corrupt and so base and so evil. This is the wonderment of grace, isn't it? Being then made free from sin. And then in this liberty of the gospel. And remember the closing words, that the wages of sin is death. Oh, remember that, dear friends. That is what belonged to us. Spirit, corporeal, yes, we will all come to the grave, but spiritual death and eternal death. Set free. Wonderful truth, dear friends. But then, made free from sin, and enter into the glorious truths and promises of the gospel. Even heaven and glory is the portion of a poor sinner here. Heaven, dear friends, can come into the heart of a poor sinner. It's a place that Jesus has reserved for the soul. It's a place that is made ready. And dear friends, our hope can aspire when the Lord is pleased through his Spirit to bring us into a little contemplation and a meditation of these glorious truths, that heaven, and is there any more blessed liberty? Yes, we know that the Lord has put away our sins, but yes, we will continue to feel them. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Paul, a body of death, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord, that advocate, a propitiation for the sins of his people. Oh, the mercy, dear friends. Yes, we will continue to feel our sins. We will often be brought to mourn and sorrow over them. It will be the subject of all our prayers, confessing and repenting. But this being made free from sin, isn't it a mercy that he is a constant advocate for us? Ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, our time has gone, dear friends, and I won't be able to speak of it just now, but I do believe that I have a text this evening which will bring us into the truth of this word here, became the servants of righteousness. There's two opposites here, being the servants of sin and Satan, and now the servants of righteousness. And it says, just a little lower down, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And the blessing of this truth, that we are now the servants of God. Well, dear friends, may the Lord bless these words to our souls. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £700, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be special services tomorrow when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. God willing, Mr. Ince will preach for us again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 742. He that trusts in his own heart acts a raw and foolish part. Base it is and full of guile, brooding mischief in a smile. Hymn 742.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us now and forever. Amen.